We'll first introduce ourselves, staff first. You want to start, Julia?
Sure. Julia Dodds, PDS.
Kevin Engelberg, PDS, and we also have Luke McClanahan. He's just started on Monday. He's an assistant planner, so.
Ryan Moss, Assistant County Attorney.
Dave Parsons, Board Member.
Bill Leifers, Board Member.
Eric Christensen, Board Member.
Okay, approval of the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, approval of the May 16th minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, applications for public hearing. First application is variance application BOA 18-27636 of Todd and Tina Davenport requesting a variance for yard, rear yard setback. Staff?
Sure. So this is a variance request, just a property northeast of North Liberty on Mahaffey Bridge Road. The variance request is to reduce the rear yard setback requirement. It's a residentially zoned property and the applicant would like to build a new single family home. So here is the lot in detail. This is the lot boundaries in this blue color. Yellow, both the north and the south of the front setback, yard setback and the rear yard setback, and then in red is the, what would be the side yard setback here and then up here. And the applicant is proposing to build a single family home in this area right here, and they would like to request a 30-foot variance for a resulting setback of 20 feet. As I mentioned, the applicant would like to build a new house. The parcel itself is 2.9 acres, and the rear yard setback requirement in the R residential district is 50 feet. They would like to reduce that requirement to 20 feet. The property is in the North Corridor development area where non-ag uses are preferred. It's located near North Liberty, but it's not in their territorial review area. The property was just platted in January of 2018 as part of the Crippen 4th subdivision. It's lot one of two lots in that subdivision, and on the next slide there will be a map of that subdivision. The Unified Development Ordinance requires 50-foot rear yard setback in the residential district. This is, requirement has existed since 1960, well before the subdivision was platted. So here is the subdivision that was platted in January. This is the lot itself. There's an outlot in the middle of the subdivision for the septic system. Just to give you a sense of the entire subdivision. There's some land that is going to be dedicated for a bike trail along the front. And I believe that was one of the reasons why the applicant wanted to locate their house further back in the property. So in order for variance to be granted, a hardship needs to be established, which is requires three conditions. The first condition is that the plight of the owner is due to unique circumstances and not to general conditions in the neighborhood, and the hardship must have been created by the ordinance and not by the applicant. In this case, it looks like the ordinance was well predated the subdivision, and the request for the variance, the 50-foot setback, was there prior to the subdivision of the land. The second criteria under the first test is that a strict application of the zoning ordinance precludes the use of land for any purpose which is reasonably adapted. Staff's opinion that they can still build a house there, just not in the location that they desire. And then the last one is that the problem cannot be alleviated by zoning the property to another classification. And in this one, it potentially could be rezoned to a different classification. However, in the residential districts, they all have at least 30-foot rear yard setback. And this property is requesting a 20-foot rear yard setback in this variance request. So that was condition number one. The second and third conditions are as follows. The second condition is that in order to establish hardship is that the use to be authorized by the variance will not alter the essential character of the locality. It's staff's opinion that this variance would not alter the essential character of the locality. However, it could set a precedent of other properties coming to require variances of the same nature. And number three is that the land in question cannot yield a reasonable return if used as allowed in the zone in which it is located. It's our opinion that you can still locate and build a house on this property and therefore yield a reasonable return. So in conclusion, after review of the application, for the following reasons, staff does not feel that hardship has been proven. The application of the zoning ordinance in this situation does not preclude the use of land for residential purposes. We feel that they can still build a house on this property. We don't believe that the hardship was created by this ordinance, and the requirements of the ordinance were in place well prior to the creation of the subdivision. And we feel that the property can yield a reasonable return if allowed in the, to be used in our residential zoning district without this variance. So staff recommends denial.
Thank you. Any questions?
Do you know who owns the adjacent property?
I do not. Josh?
In the rear is the core.
I know there's an existing house.
We have the property list in the file. So.
But it's a private owner, not the state public.
No, there's an existing house right here.
I'm sorry, to the,
the rear is.
To the north is the, I believe that's the core land.
Okay. So the property owner should be able to give us when they come up for.
I was just curious if acquiring any land in that direction was an option.
Any other questions? Okay, Todd and Tina, either one, would you like to add to what the staff has talked about? If you want to come to the podium and speak, you're more than welcome.
Can we come back?
Either one or both or
As far as the, I don't know if you have the picture back up there, to the north of us, what surrounds us is Army Corps of Engineers now. We did make contact with them and discussed potentially seeing if we could, you know, exchange some property with them. We were willing to pay them to do that as well. And unfortunately, they're not willing to do that or able to do that. It's the kind of the irregularity of the lot that's kind of preventing us kind of from positioning the house where we want to be, because it's kind of a bow tie shaped. And what you'll notice is, as far as when you have 50 foot from the rear and then 40 foot from the front, it really shrinks us up when you got a triangle you're trying to put a house on. Mahaffey Bridge is obviously right there. You're going to have that bike trail going across there. We're concerned as future too, as far as the expansion of that road, the widening of it. And the noise, and what it, we just don't want to be that close to that road. There's also a natural setting that's already cleared there. There's big oaks that are there that we prefer not to have to tear down, or that's another reason why. Is there anything else you'd add to it?
Yeah, I would say, we feel that we really like to preserve the natural trees that are there, and not, and they're, like he just mentioned, the proposed positioning of the house would allow us to not have to remove very many at all. Your question of who the surrounding property owner is, like Todd mentioned, it's to the north and east, right?
Yeah.
It would be all Army Corps. And to the west is the gentleman that we purchased the property from, Bill Crippen. He's the one that in January replatted it and had split his land. We've had lots of discussion with him. I'm sure he would be able to speak to his, if he was okay or not okay with that, but has told us that he is fine. I also have had a lot of communication with Army Corps, wanting to make sure they were okay with this variance as well, and have an email from them. They're planning to put it in writing if we needed it for you all, but that they do not have a requirement at all of setback from their property as our neighbor. Meaning that if we, if we wanted to or were able to, we could build on the property line, is what he was saying. But we're not requesting that. We just would like to potentially position a little farther onto the property. And so, if that is something that would be of value to you all, we would get that.
Thank you. Any questions? No. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll open the public comments for the application. Is there anybody here who would like to speak for or against this application? Okay, we'll close the public comments. Is that proper? Close the public comments. Any other questions? Is there a motion?
Go ahead.
So I would move to deny.
One second.
And I would just say that unfortunately, that's the county law. Really, the only way that we're allowed to issue a variance is if it makes the property worthless. That's the standard that we're held to. And because of such a recent platting, I mean, this was created with that law in mind, and so it's hard for us to say that the law shouldn't apply. At least that's my opinion.
It doesn't seem to match the definition of the hardship variance, right?
I agree. We do have two members that are not present, but based on the indications of the board so far, it would be 3-0 to deny the application. So having two more people here wouldn't make any difference. Is there any additional discussion? Okay, roll call.
Parsons.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Leifers.
Aye. Okay, the application is denied. Sorry about that. Next application. Variance application BOA 18-27-637 of Terry and Mary Starry. Staff?
Sure. So this is another variance request for a rear yard setback. This property is located on Lake Manor Road, just south of Westview Drive, northeast. The purpose of this request is to remodel and expand an existing deck, which is attached to a single family home. This is the lot layout. I know it's probably a little difficult to see where exactly the deck is, but it's the existing deck is purple right here, and the applicant would like to expand it into this area, which is shown in green, and we'll get more towards the specifics of what that looks like in a little bit here. So the applicant would like to expand an existing deck on a 3-acre parcel. The parcel is zoned AR, agricultural residential, and the rear yard setback requirement in that district is 50 feet. The existing deck is considered legal non-conforming, and it's set 19.3 feet from the property line. The deck's about 150 square feet. The applicant would like to expand the deck because of the way the deck is situated. They'd like to expand that deck to approximately 15.9 feet from the property line. Therefore, they're requesting a 35-foot variance from the 50-foot rear yard setback requirement for variance to allow them to build up to 15 feet. Property is located in the North Corridor development area. Non-agricultural uses are preferred. Parcel is 3 acres and is zoned for residential use. It was platted as Lot 15 of Lake Point Estates First Edition in the early 70s. And the house that is there now was built in 1974. The Unified Development Ordinance allows legal non-conforming structures to be enlarged, altered, or reconstructed, provided the alteration does not encroach further into the required yard. So therefore, they could expand their deck so long as they stayed at least 19.3 feet away from the property line, which is the edge of their current deck right now. They can't go further than that 19.3 foot line, absent a variance. So this is a neighborhood map, and from what I understand, there are several lots with similar conditions in the neighborhoods, or in this neighborhood particularly, that have been granted variances. I counted 11 different variances that have been granted under similar conditions as this, from my understanding. But in order for the board to issue a variance, they need to determine that a hardship has been established. It's the same test we just went over. The first one, the hardship must have been created by the ordinance and not by the applicant or predecessor in title. It is possible that the ordinance changed over the course of time where the setbacks changed to inhibit the property owner in building this lot, building this deck where is currently. Strict application of the zoning ordinance precludes the use of the land for any purpose to which is reasonably adapted. Staff does not feel that strict application of the zoning ordinance in this case would preclude the use of the land for residential purposes. And then the problem cannot be alleviated by zoning the property to another classification. Each other zoning classification requires at least 30-foot rear yard setback, so it does not appear that rezoning the property would solve this issue. For the second test, the use to be authorized by the variance will not alter the essential character of the locality. It's not staff's opinion that authorizing this variance would alter the character of the neighborhood. It's still a residential neighborhood, and I don't see how authorizing this variance would change the character. The third test is the land in question cannot yield a reasonable return if used as allowed in the zone in which it is located. Staff's opinion that you could still get a reasonable return from this property absent this variance. So after review of this application, for the following reasons, staff does not feel that the hardship has been proven. The application of the zoning ordinance does not preclude the use of the property for residential purposes. They can still live in that house that's currently there. The property can yield a reasonable return in this district without this variance. And just a note that the Board of Adjustment has ruled on 11 other variances in this neighborhood with similar conditions. So in sum, the staff does not feel that the application merits hardship as defined by the Unified Development Ordinance and therefore recommends denial.
Questions?
Looks like the Corps of Engineers owns that adjacent property as well.
It's likely. Josh?
Yes.
Yeah. No questions.
Question. Okay, Terry and Mary, Terry and or Mary, whichever. Do you like to comment further on the application?
I guess you did a very good job of explaining it. Thank you for doing that. Basically, all I'm asking for is to widen my deck by 8 feet. But as how my land is plotted, it does infringe a little bit more on the variance. But it's pre-existing. I don't even meet the 50-foot with my house. So, and there's really no potential for development or anything. And as the couple before me, you know, the Corps really has no problem with me infringing a little bit more on the variance distance between their property and mine. And it really doesn't impact any of my neighbors. So I just feel it's a pretty minuscule request that I'm asking for, that I understand that it doesn't meet the current 50 feet offset, but obviously the house doesn't even meet the 50-foot setback. And so somewhere along the line, the requirements have changed since the house was built. And I don't know, I just feel that depend on me to, you know, upgrade the condition of my house. I'm just asking for an 8-foot wider deck, so I can put a roof over it and get a screen porch.
What's the difference between what you're asking for and what the other deck is?
Well, the current offset is 30.7 feet. I'm asking for 34.1 feet, okay. Which is the variance. So I'm asking for an additional 3.4 feet variance.
Okay. Any questions? Staff, have we approved applications such as this?
So you have approved several variances in this
variances, but have they been the same type?
And they I couldn't recall, but as from my recollection, these are fairly small lots. They have old houses on them, so they probably all mostly have been for additions. I think it's important for the board to realize that past board decisions don't bind you. Just because you've approved 11 applications in this area doesn't mean that you should approve this one or that you should necessarily deny this one. I think you should look at it on the merits of the application, and then if you feel that he has proven a hardship or not based on the staff report and the change in the variance, so, or change in the ordinance as he's maintained ownership of this property.
Thank you. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll open the application up for public comment. Is there anybody here who would like to speak for or against the application? We'll close the public comment portion of the application. Is there a motion?
Go ahead, Eric.
You're on a roll.
So, I will move to deny.
I'll reluctantly second that.
Well, and this is one where, I don't know, I think it's much closer. I still don't think that the full hardship has been proved, and I tend to be a stickler on that. I don't know if you think that, or where you guys are on that, or if this is one that they might suggest holding on until there's a full board.
Well, we've approved a lot of them out there, I don't think it affects anybody.
Well, in the past, that's true. And we have taken into account things like if anybody cares, if anybody's impacted, if anybody objects. And it's kind of a no harm, no foul sort of thing, or it has been in the past. But then when I went to the training, oh, it's been almost a year ago now, in Des Moines for board members, essentially they told me, and I collared the legal, the guy that was doing the talking, he was some state attorney, who said, essentially, I've been doing it wrong all this time, and we shouldn't be taking those things into account, and either it meets the definition for a hardship or it doesn't. And he said 95% of all applications like this should be denied. And that's like a total turnaround from what I had been used to. And I sense the board has been trending in this direction for a while. So yes, it would be a departure from our loosey-goosey standards of the past, but I kind of like to keep things legal and predictable, so that's why I second it.
Okay. Anything additional? I believe in liberally applying the
I'd like to,
ordinance.
Can I just, Josh, if you want to chime in, by all means, go ahead. In looking at our zoning ordinance, we do talk about what are called non-conforming uses or non-conforming regulations. And that's essentially, we're presented with these sorts of situations somewhat frequently in that there is a structure. In this case, we have a perfectly legal house and existing deck that are non-conforming uses. They don't meet the current zoning ordinance as applied. But they were in existence at whatever point, maybe in this case, these setbacks became applicable. And just for your reference, I'll just read it to you, although you don't need to write it down, because it'll be in the notes. But section 1.21 is the non-conforming use regulations. And in there we say that a non-conforming use cannot be enlarged, extended, reconstructed, or structurally altered unless changed to a permitted use. So.
Say that again.
Oh, that's a use.
That's so, but also if you go down to the bottom.
Yeah.
And I apologize, these non-conforming use regulations are not, they need a little bit of work. But yep. It talks about if it's a residential structure, then it if it's destroyed, that it can be rebuilt, I believe. I don't have
actually that was the point I was going to get to next. So that when you got a single family residence, it may be enlarged, altered, or reconstructed where the following conditions are present. Where an existing structure or structure parts are not conforming, remember, no enlargement shall be permitted which encroaches further into a required yard or setback. So that's kind of what applies in this case, and I think speaks to this situation. Like Josh was saying, you apply your limited scope of authority. And I'm glad to hear that you went to the training and heard from someone else's mouth besides mine some of the guidelines that this board is required to follow. And it's not just local law, it's state law that says you're supposed to look at these hardship requirements.
Okay, there's a motion to deny. Is there any discussion?
I don't know if you wanted to give them an option to carry on at the next meeting or not, because we don't have a full board, but
it depends on the way you're leaning.
Yeah, I agree. And it takes some thought and learning and figuring out really what we are supposed to be doing, but we've been doing this type of thing for so long. Is it legal for us to do what we do? Are any of these legal? And if we go forward, because we've been told basically that we can approve what we think is reasonable, and that's what we've been doing. So I'm on the fence with it. I want to follow the law, but I think that with a house like this where you have it by the core land, there's nobody else around, it doesn't really matter that much. I mean, if you're building a new house and then the subdivision was approved in the last year, that's a heck of a lot different than a house that's been there for a long time. So you do have the option to, continue this application into the next meeting when hopefully we'll have more board members. It takes three people to approve any motion. And so with my being a little reticent doing this, it's two to one, I guess. Without hearing any other arguments and the other board members speaking, to convince me that, I'm going the wrong direction, whatever. But you have that option. You don't know the board members, but it's possible. So it's
up to you. I do, and I have no prediction of which way they would feel.
Yeah, you would not.
Can they be bribed?
You would not. But if a board of adjustments is to exist, it needs to take care of problems that, as you say, Dave, no harm, no foul, or it doesn't really make any difference. And do we want to live in a community that's so strict that we can't do such things, which to me seem like common sense and reasonable?
Well, in a nice way, they were telling me that I was thinking about it all wrong. And I knew that if once I applied my new mindset, that there'd be a certain amount of whiplash. And I'm in the whiplash phase now.
Yeah. So it's up to you, as the applicants, as to whether you want to try again, convince two.
So would we have to refile another application?
No, it's
deferred.
We're deferring it for one month.
Okay, that would be fine.
Which would be the third Wednesday of July.
July. Okay.
So there's a motion on the floor right now.
Right. It just died without.
Well,
or is that?
It's been seconded.
Yes.
So you can either have a roll call vote to, which to some degree, based on the discussion, it would pass. The motion to deny, if it's 2-1, pass. If Eric, you want to withdraw your motion subject to the second's friendly consent, you can do so, and then I think you'd need to do two things. I think you'd need to vote to reopen the public hearing for additional information that presumably would be presented at next meeting to the other board members.
Aren't we doing that automatically by just extending the application from?
No, because we closed the public hearing.
Okay.
So you might be deferring consideration, but technically anyone who showed up wouldn't be entitled to submit information into the record. In all likelihood, they wouldn't be refused from at least addressing the board, but it wouldn't formally constitute the record unless you reopen the public hearing. So if the board's inclined to go this route, we'd need a withdrawal of the motion. Then we would need a vote to reopen the public hearing, and then a vote, which you should have the language for, maybe not, but essentially to continue the public hearing and defer consideration to a specific date and time.
Okay. What's the, what's your opinion on that? You want to withdraw, you want to vote on it? Does it?
Let's get it on the record, our votes. We can, it doesn't make, really make a lot of difference.
I think if we vote, though, it's over.
If you vote, it's over.
If we vote, it's...
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah. And so, because we don't have a full board,
sorry,
I think they do deserve consideration of all five.
I withdraw my second.
So I withdraw my motion.
Okay, so next we would...
need to vote to reopen the public hearing.
Okay,
that was just
I move to reopen the public hearing.
Second.
Portion of the application.
Bang your gavel, make it official.
Well, we haven't voted on it yet.
But once you vote on it. Mm-hmm. Once you vote on it.
That's what I thought.
My bad.
Okay. You're my... whatever.
No, try. Don't count on me for anything.
Okay, roll call. No, we have a motion, correct?
We had a motion to reopen the public hearing.
Right.
That was seconded. And you can ask for a, I guess, a roll call of that vote.
Okay.
I didn't know that required a vote.
To reopen a public hearing, you'd need to have vote of the board.
Yeah. Not
it wouldn't need to be. It wouldn't need to be a roll call vote.
Just no.
Okay. Those in favor.
Aye.
Okay.
Okay.
The public hearing portion, or the public comment portion, is reopened. The next would be a motion to defer the application until July meeting.
Continue the public hearing and defer to a specific date and time and location.
I move that we continue the public hearing and defer variance application BOA 182-7637 to our next monthly meeting, which is
July 18th at
5:30 p.m.
In this room.
In this very room.
The daylight savings time?
You be quiet.
Okay.
Seconded.
Oh, there we go.
All in favor. Seconded.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Thank you.
We'll see you next month.
Okay.
Next is conditional use permit application BOA 18-27638 of Michael Malik. Staff?
Yep. So this is a request for a conditional use permit to operate a small-scale site. This property is located in the north part of the county, just east of Shrewsbury, off of Hoosier Creek Road northeast. This is the parcel that the applicant is proposing doing the cidery operation. There's an existing driveway. This, I believe, comes off of Hoosier Creek Road, eventually passes through a farm. This is an orchard over here, and this is a concrete slab, and they're proposing to build a building to house the cidery operation right here in purple. So the cidery operation would occur in a newly constructed juicing building. That's where the apples would be juiced and pressed and fermented in order to make hard cider. The building will be located on the applicant's farm where they currently live, and I believe they live just to the north and have an orchard of approximately 20 acres. The operation itself would take place 1 or 2 days per week from mid-September through the end of November during harvest season. And they propose to employ 3 non-family seasonal employees to operate the cidery. It's my understanding on the days that they are not operating the cidery operation, they will be working on the farm. So the health department, the building is not proposed to be used by the public at this time, so no tasting room or tours or anything of that nature. The applicant proposes to install a new septic system to service the building That's for a bathroom and any wastewater from that building during the juicing operation. And that system will be reviewed by Johnson County Public Health. The building will use an existing well for washing apples, cleaning the equipment, and for bathroom use and hand washing station. And the health department didn't have any objections to this request. County engineers report the property is located off of Hoosier Creek Road. It's a gravel road, has a daily traffic count of 45 from the most recent Iowa DOT estimates. The employees will park right next to the building on the existing concrete slab. Once a year, the applicant is proposing having a semi-truck on the property, and this is, will take place in the spring for approximately 5 weeks. The semi-truck will be there for a mobile bottling service. I believe they will come to the property, bottle the cider that's been made over the course of the winter or harvest season, and then after that operation is done, they will leave the property. So the county engineer had no objections, nor did the county sheriff. From our staff, we believe this is a low intensity use. The applicant has taken steps to ensure health, safety, and welfare of the public is protected. We think the cidery use fits the character of the area. It's an agricultural area to the north in this part of the county, and we think it promotes value-added agricultural uses. We recommend approval of the conditional use permit with the condition that if the applicant would like to operate a tasting room, retail operation, or any other public activity from this use in the future, that they would come back and amend the conditional use permit at that time.
So right now it's a growing operation and a bottling operation. It's
yep, they're going to grow apples from the orchard that's on site, use those apples, bring them over to the juicing building, send them through the process of fermentation, have a truck come and bottle it in the spring, and then that's the entire operation. I believe they are anticipating selling this at local farmers markets, and perhaps eventually getting, if they get larger, selling at local grocery stores. That's my understanding.
Any other questions of staff? Mike Malik, would you like to speak further about the application or add anything?
So I guess I'll just clarify one point and everything. The apple orchard is existing right now at about 14 acres, and it is expected by next year to be up to 16. So he said 20. It's a little bit smaller than that. Other than that, his report was excellent.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay.
I would just say that we use in our zoning ordinance, we talk about a conditional use permit that can be modified and that it can be modified at the request of the property owner or Josh Bussard as PDS administrator can set a hearing. But essentially, what I would suggest is if you're inclined to approve it subject to the condition as stated up there, that the condition talks, uses the language about modifies, that the land, that the property owner would apply for or request a modification in accordance with our unified development ordinance.
So a motion to approve subject to the...
Subject to what is essentially stated up there, but that the... So instead of that, the applicant will amend. Applicant can't amend anything. It's your body. That
applicant can apply to amend.
Indeed, and we use the word modify in the zoning ordinance. So that's what I'm just saying is trying to be clear about that. The applicant is directed to apply or seek a modification at the time.
Okay. Seeing nobody else in the audience, the public comments isn't going to happen, it looks like, but we'll open it and we'll close it. Is that good enough for us? Okay.
I move to approve conditional use permit application BOA 18-27638 under the condition that the applicant will apply to modify the conditional use permit in the future in order to operate a tasting room, retail operation, or any other public activity on the premises.
Second.
Anything like that?
That's perfect.
Is there a second?
Second.
You get a second, okay. Discussion. Roll call.
Leifers. Leifers.
Aye.
Parsons.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Okay. Application is approved. Mileage, is there an adjournment?
Move to adjourn.
Seconded.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Dave?
Aye.
I mean, thank you. So it takes a real motion and vote to reopen the public, not to open and close originally, right? The judge can do that on his own.
Right. Unless there's an objection. See, that's the thing.
Josh, thank you for your assistance. I appreciate it. No problem.
So if the chair is making
I was just giving you a few extra details.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
I bought my dreams. I thought I'd say, no, wait, and require a vote.